All right, as we did last Sunday, please turn with me to Psalm 139. This morning we're going to continue our sermon, Reasons for Revival. Psalm 139, our text, verses 23 and 24. And we'll look to finish up our thoughts on this subject this evening and possibly Wednesday night as well. Psalm 139, if you found your place, why don't you go ahead and stand. We'll read verses 23 and 24 together. Psalm 139, starting in verse 23, the Bible says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." And all the church said, thank you, and you may be seated. Again, the title of the message is Reasons for Revival. Now, you heard this last week. You'll hear it more today and tonight. We need revival. Let's be honest about it. Our churches are not making a difference in our culture. This nation is going to hell. Central Baptist Church, Gospel Light Baptist Church are not making a dent. If we were, there would not be so many drugs and so much alcohol abuse in Wakulla County. And what about the gambling that goes on here? The tattoo parlors. There are abortion mills in this area. Now, I thank God for our churches. But my friend, we are not making the difference that we should be. And the reason for that is because we need revival. Now understand something this morning, that this isn't about whether God loves me. This is about whether I love God. God already loves me. Cold, indifferent, apathetic, worldly and carnal as I may be, God loves me. I'm accepted in the beloved, the Bible says. God loves me because of his son, Jesus Christ. Revival is about our love for God. Do we have a consuming love for God? That's the question we are asking God to reveal to us. So as we prepare for our revival meeting on next Sunday morning, we are examining 9 areas to help us to determine and see our need for revival, and upon doing, to submit and to catch fire for the kingdom of heaven once again. Now, number 1, we know we need revival when our love for the Lord is lost. Number 2, when our ambition lacks ambassadorship. Number 3 this morning, we know we need revival when our soul winning is cold sinning. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse number 30 says this, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." Now, I've hammered this a lot lately, so I'm not belaboring the point this morning. But my dear Christian friends, when we make little effort to witness to the lost, we need revival. Now, when's the last time you talked to someone about the Lord? We're 6 weeks into this new year. Have you really gone 6 weeks without sharing the words of everlasting life to one single person? Have you? Have you really done that? Friend, when we're unmoved by the thought of our neighbors, our business associates, and our acquaintances who are lost and on their way to an eternal hell, I'm here to tell you we need revival. Last year, our next door neighbor died. And I stand up here before you and tell you through clenched teeth, that I did not do everything I could to share the gospel with that man. I got to live with that the rest of my life. How very shameful that I didn't know whether that man was saved or not before he passed away. May I tell you? Some of the people in your circle of life are going to die this very year. Have you thought about who's going to share the gospel with them? Is it going to be you, my friend? When we aren't seeing lost people drawn to Jesus, it's not the gospel, my friend, it's us. We need revival. Here's another reason. When the lost world around us doesn't know or doesn't even care that we exist, it's time for revival. Friends, this is the house of God. This is a holy place. It's set apart for God. God can be found here. Does this community, does this neighborhood know that? Or do they see the same thing here that they see everywhere else they go? Worldly dress, cursing, smoking, lack of hope, no joy, you name it. Do you understand that our actions on this property, every single time that we step foot on it, my friend, it is an impact for salvation, or it is a stumbling block against salvation to this community? Something else. Did you know that 2.5 billion people in this world have never heard the name Jesus Christ? Does that concern you enough for you to give to missions? Do you know why it doesn't? Because our soul winning is cold sinning. Let me share a few things with you. Each year, my family, we increase our giving to missions. And why shouldn't we do that? My friend, the inflation of lost souls is high, and we need to cover the cost of those that God has called to take the gospel and go tell those 2.5 billion people. Questions that need to be answered. You need to ask yourself, am I praying for the missionaries that Central Baptist Church supports? Do I know how many there are? There are 13. Do I know those 13 missionaries and their families by name? Do I know where those 13 missionaries are serving? Do I know the needs of each of them so that when I pray, I can pray effectively and effectually for them? No, preacher, I just pray, God bless our missionaries. Friend, that's lazy. That's uninterested. That's unconcerned prayer. We've invested $1,000. Look back there. We've invested nearly $1,000 in that holding the ropes ministry back there in the corner to help you to be informed and to help you to pray for our missionaries. Have you taken advantage of that? Can I tell you, our missionaries need your prayers. Our missionaries need your support. And at this church, if we were more aware as a whole of what was going on in the lives of our missionaries, I'm telling you, it would come out from time to time in some of our public prayers. It would. Something that they need a request for, we would pray about. We would rejoice in something they're rejoicing about. It'd come out in our prayers to open service. It'd come out in our prayers to close our service. It'd come out in our prayers at the offering time. It'd come out in our prayers on Wednesday night. And when it doesn't, it shows that we need revival. Reasons for revival. We're looking at nine areas. So that the Spirit of God would search our heart try us and know us, and leading us in the way of everlasting, and help us to see our need for revival. We know we need revival when our love for the Lord is lost, when our ambition lacks ambassadorship, when our soul winning is cold sinning. Number four, we know we need revival when our hearts are hard. 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse number 20 says this, "Thus saith the Lord, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears." When our hearts are cold and when our eyes are dry, we need revival. Amen. Can I ask you, when's the last time the Word of God so impacted your heart that you just wept and prayed? I'm serious. When's the last time? When's the last time the Word of God has so exhilarated your heart that you just lifted your hands and praised the heaven? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for your pursuit of my wayward heart. Thank you for victory over this sin and that sin. Thank you for this book in my lap. Thank you, God. Amen. When's the last time your heart's been that soft, that receptive? Listen, I'm against hyper-emotionalism. But at the same time, if there are never any tears shed, our hearts are cold and they are hard, and we, my friend, need revival. When we've ceased to weep and to mourn and to grieve over our own sin and over the sin of others, our hearts are hard. When's the last time you heard another believer confess their faults? I'd wait a long time for an answer. Did you know revival will never be within a universe's reach of a proud spirit? I confess my faults all the time. I do it up here when I'm preaching to you. Matter of fact, you heard it just a few moments ago when I told you the story about my neighbor who passed. Question, when's the last time you did something like that? God commands that we do. James chapter 5 and verse number 16, confess your faults one to another. That'll keep us humble. When we can't see our need, and when sin no longer bothers us, we need revival. Here's another indicator. When we'd rather make money than to give money. Luke chapter 6 and verse number 38, Jesus said, "Give. Give, and it shall be given you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, with all it shall be measured to you again." Now, what means more to you? Giving money or making money? Now, I understand if you're going to give money, you got to make some money. But my question to you is this. Are you a giver? Hey, ask the men who count the money in this church if I give or not. Ask them. I'm not going to stand up here behind this pulpit and ask you and tell you to do something that I myself am not doing. Did you know giving is a characteristic of God? For God so loved the world that He gave. That He gave His only begotten Son. When we don't want to give, it reveals the hardness of our heart and it shows that we need revival. In addition, when our giving is measured, when it is calculated, instead of being extravagant and sacrificial, we need revival. We should not give the least, but we should give as much as we can to God. Now, before you start thinking it, let me tell you, I don't want your money. This church doesn't want your money, and God sure doesn't need your money. I'm trying to help you see the condition of your heart. Let Let me give you a few more things. If you, my friend, were to look, you would find that the largest check that I write every single month is for tithes and offerings. Every month. More than my house payment. More than my car payment. Look at my check register. I'll be glad to show it to you. You know what you're going to find? You're going to find the thing that is going out the most are for things that would work and advance the kingdom of God. God's not last. God's first in my budget. Look at my budget sheet every month. You'll see exactly that. What about you? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. My friend, with great encouragement from my dear wife, I learned a long time ago that you simply cannot outgive God. God honors. God takes care of those who are generous in their giving. I've already given you a glorious verse in Luke 6:38. Let me give you another one. Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 10. God said, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. Watch this. And God said, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now, I could say a lot more about that, but my friend, there is no truer. There is no more faithful promise I have found in my life than that. God takes care of those who give. My giving is not to be calculated. And if you're figuring, if you're always looking for loopholes on what I should give and what I shouldn't give, does this count against tithes or does this count against tithes? When you're pulling the purse strings tight, it shows you need revival. God wants to extend mercy. I tell you this, he would much rather forgive sin than to punish sin. You know how I know that? He sent his son, Jesus Christ. But listen, God cannot put away our sin by forgiving it until we first put it away by forsaking it. The problem is so often we are just simply not willing to repent. We want God's mercy. God, be merciful to me. God, give me mercy. But a prayer without repentance is a religious farce. It is a smokescreen. We're looking at some reasons for revival. And upon looking at these areas, we pray God, His Holy Spirit would speak to our heart, that our heart may be soft toward the Word of God and toward the truth of God, and we may see our need for revival and submit to that and catch fire for the kingdom of God once again. And we've seen some areas so far. We know we need revival. When our love for the Lord is lost, when our ambition lacks ambassadorship, when our soul winning is cold sinning, when our hearts are hard. Number five, we know we need revival when church becomes casual. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 2 says this, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. When our preaching lacks conviction, confrontation, and the divine fire of anointing, it shows our need for revival. Now, today's churches give, and today's Christians want to receive. They want to hear those funny, feel-good messages. But can I tell you, there's nothing funny about being reproved. There's nothing that feels good about being rebuked. Now, I love encouraging sermons just as much as anybody else sitting in the pew. I love encouraging sermons, but I'm not here just to make you feel good. And if the Word of God has made you mad over the past two Sunday mornings, then you probably need to get mad. But not at me, but at the one you look at in the mirror. My friend, if you're attracted to the feel-good sermons of Joel Osteen and most preachers today, you need revival. God's preachers are told the biblical command is to reprove, to rebuke, and to exhort. And no preacher gets pleasure standing up there and having to give a heavy message. But if we're going to be faithful to the Word of God, we must reprove, we must rebuke, we must exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, the Bible says. And I can tell you one thing that I personally thank God for. When I withdraw to my prayer closet, and it's just me and God, I thank God. You don't know how much I thank God for your love for the truth of this book, for the hunger that you have for God's Word. Amen. Here's another reason for revival. When church services are predictable and business as usual, I'm here at church, I'm going home. No different than going to work, going to the grocery store, or going to the gym. A church should not be a casual event. Brother Matt's up there reading some scriptures. He's singing a song. Oh, look, the announcements are happening. Brother Matt again with more songs. Hey, there's the special. Preacher's up there preaching now. Hopefully we'll go home in an hour or so. Listen, my friend. I get charged up when I come into this place. I do. I get encouraged every time I see your faces come through that door. When we fellowship, when we shake hands, the services, they thrill me. What songs are we going to sing? I can't wait to hear the special. Is it time to give my tithes and offerings? And I tell you, my friend, the anticipation for the sermon on Sunday morning is through the roof. The time we spend together in this place, it is the highlight of my week. It is the highlight of my life. You say, boy, preacher, you need to get a life. No, I have a life in Jesus. You need revival. Are you bored with worship? Are you excited to worship God in this place? I can tell you, Sister Charlene is. You ever hear her sing? She lets it go. Sister Joanne is. She's excited to worship God in this place. Are you? How can we smile at a movie, move to a song, cheer for a sports team, but be stone-faced in the pew while singing to the King? Never agree with God's word while it's being preached? Well, preacher, I just don't feel comfortable saying amen. Well, that's okay. Say glory. Say hallelujah. Amen. Say glory, hallelujah. Say that's right. Say come on, preacher. Get on, preacher. Praise God. It's okay to say those words. You just don't have to say amen. Friend, if you're bored with biblical worship, when people have to be entertained to be drawn to church, we need revival. Has church become casual for you? When our singing is half-hearted, our worship lifeless. I need somebody to teach me how to sing half-hearted because I just don't know how to do it. How does that happen? Praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give Him the glory, great things He has done. That's so unnatural. I don't care that I can't sing in a perfect key. I care my spirit is about to bust loose in singing praise to my Lord and to my God. Preacher, you got some Bible for that? You know, I wouldn't tell you something if I didn't. In the book of Malachi, God is confronting the sins of the priest. They were bringing sickly and diseased sacrifices there to the altar to God, and God was not interested in their polluted sacrifices. And God's message to them was this: don't you dare bring me less than your best. I won't even accept it. It's better to not bring anything at all than to bring something polluted like that in here to me. The same is true with our worship in this place. God is disgusted at half-hearted singing. Revival just might bust loose in this place. Wakulla County just might catch fire for God if each member of Central Baptist Church sang with their whole heart every time a hymn is heaved toward heaven in praise and song. Let me give you a verse, Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Watch this. Singing with grace. Singing with grace. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, the Bible says. If we're not careful, we independent Baptists turn our public worship services into a funeral service. Nobody wants to go to a funeral service. We don't need electric guitars, and we don't need strobe lights, and we don't need a praise team, and we don't need drums, and we don't need a tambourine. What we do need is 50 or 60 Christians singing with grace in their hearts to the Lord. Do we need revival? When sin in the church is swept under the rug, we need revival. That's what the books of 1st and 2nd Corinthians are all about. They were not dealing with the sin in the church, and Paul had to come in and correct them for that. Now, if I become aware of sin in the church, and I don't deal with that, listen, you have a right to come to me about that. When churches don't deal with open sin, it shows that we need revival. Known sin in the church needs to be dealt with through the biblical process of discipline and restoration. Jesus provided in Matthew chapter number 18, he provided very specific steps, a very detailed and orderly process of how the church is to work through any discipline when the time comes. And of course, the goal of any church discipline is for what? It's for restoration. But when church leadership refuses to follow Matthew 18, it shows our lack of trust in God. When we put people into leadership positions who don't meet the scriptural qualifications, divorced men in the office of a pastor, divorced men in the office of bishop, my friend, it demonstrates our disobedient heart toward the Word of God. When believers can be at odds with each other and not be compelled to pursue reconciliation one with another, that's not right. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14, we know we have eternal life, right? Because we love God. Let me tell you this, we know that we have passed from life unto death because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Brother Wayne, how would it be if I told you I loved you, but I didn't want nothing to do with you? I love you, but don't call me. Don't come over to my house. That's not love, is it? He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. I don't care how many times I've read this Bible through. I could read it through 55 times. I don't care how many memory verses I can quote. I don't care how many great sermons there are. I don't care how passionately that prayer is offered in. If I have aught in my heart against my brother, I am wrong. Stop, period. Nothing else to say. I'm wrong. There's no such thing as a Christian that is right with God that has aught in his heart toward the family of God. No such thing. You can say what you want. The word of the King is crystal. It is exceeding clear. Listen, when I've wronged somebody, I try to make it right when I become aware. Furthermore, Brother Danny, even when I haven't wronged somebody, But I become aware that that person is cross with me about something. Can I tell you? The Spirit of God inside of me, He compels me to go pursue reconciliation. Amen. If that's not true for you, you need revival. Let me give you a couple of verses to think about. Psalm 131 in verse number 1. Behold how good. Behold how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. That expresses fellowship, doesn't it? Unhindered fellowship. Psalm 122 in verse 1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. When we don't long for the company and the fellowship of God's people, we need revival. There's something wrong. We don't crave the fellowship of like-minded believers. If I can go to Walmart, but I can't go to church, I need revival. When God's people do get together with other believers, and the chatter is primarily about the news, the weather, sports, rather than the Lord, it shows we need revival. People talk about the things that they like. Referring to the believer in a right relationship with the Lord, Psalm 1 and verse number 2 says this. It says, but His delight, His desire, His passion, His woner, but His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law doth He meditate day and night. He's thinking about the Word of God. He's thinking about the things of God. He's thinking about the people of God. He's thinking how he can advance the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is on his heart. Naturally, that's what's going to come out of his mouth. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34, Jesus said, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And a believer's heart that is full of God is going to talk about God. It's an inseparable proposition. Now be honest. When you get together with other believers, is it odd for the things of the Lord to come up in your conversation? Does it get awkward if you are in that moment and the conversation turns to something spiritual and you got to change the subject? Oh, hey, brother, and you dart off to this direction and that direction. You know, you want to be anywhere beside where there's a conversation happening about Jesus Christ. What is your day-to-day speech? What does your day-to-day actions reveal about the condition of your heart? Can I tell you, Brother Keith, it bothers me when I'm around other Christians and they do not want to talk about the Lord. And it shows that we need revival. We need revival when we aren't seeing regular evidence of the supernatural power of God. Brother Carl, when somebody gets saved, that's evidence of the supernatural power of God. When somebody makes a decision to get baptized, that's evidence of the supernatural power of God. When somebody makes a decision to turn away from sin, that's evidence of the supernatural power of God. When somebody is convicted in their heart, when somebody is convinced in their heart over the Word of God, that is an evidence of the supernatural power of God. When somebody comes to this altar to deal with God about something or to rejoice with God in something, that's evidence of the supernatural power of God. When the church gets together to pray and God answers the prayer of the church, that's evidence of the supernatural power of God. Maybe it's for sickness or disease. Where's the cancer? It's gone. That's evidence of the power of the supernatural when it comes to God. For a couple that's trying to conceive and having trouble conceiving, and the medical community tells them it's not possible. You need to plan for life without children, or you need to go to an adoption agency. And the church get together and prays about that thing. And the next thing you know, there's a pregnancy. That's evidence of the supernatural power of Almighty God. God is still God. God wants to work on our behalf. Didn't God do something supernatural with this church a few years ago in the debt situation? I still get excited about that thing. How God worked in this creditor's heart in the sales of those properties and just took it all away and gave increase on top of that. That was the evidence of the supernatural power of God in response to the prayers of the people of God. We've seen the salvations, the decisions, the baptism. We've experienced that. And what a joy, what a blessing it is to be a part of that. But I tell you, man always has a substitute for the power of God. It's in most mega churches, offering things that appeal to the flesh, carnal music, sensual movements in the performance of the praise team, the preacher wearing hip clothing behind the pulpit, when skits are presented in place of sermons. Man has a substitute for the power of God. I could fill this place up next Sunday morning more than it was last Sunday morning. You say, come on, preacher, I could. You know how I'd do it? I'd pick up the phone, I'd make a call to the Tallahassee Democrat, and I'd place an ad in the Tallahassee Democrat offering $500, no strings attached, to everybody who attended Central Baptist Church on next Sunday morning. They'd fill this place up. They'd be lined out there to Shadeville Highway trying to get in here. The sheriff would have to come and help us direct traffic. And we could stand back and say, boy, look how God's working here. No, God's not working. There's a bunch of people that want $500 out there. That's what's happening. Man knows how to substitute the power of God. And when that happens, we need revival. I said all that to say this. When we're content with explainable, ordinary Christianity and church services, we need revival fire. Now, you may believe that we've moved past the time for revival. I do not believe that. God was silent for 400 years, the intertestament period between the Old Testament and the New Testament. God was silent for 400 years. We've not even been a country, barely 200. 400 years, nothing from God, until that wild man showed up wearing camel's hair and eating locusts. One man, John the Baptist, and revival followed that man. And I believe as long as the church is here on this earth and God is still God and God is on the throne, we have a chance for revival. We just need a John the Baptist to show up, light himself on fire for the kingdom of God, and get the rest of us going. Maybe it could be us. Why not us? What I'm trying to say is this. We should be doing everything that we can, everything in our power, to assure that we are not hindering Central Baptist Church from being all that God intends for this church to be. Church has been here 40 years, roughly. I'm probably the sixth or seventh pastor, somewhere in there. As far as I know, this church has never averaged more than 100 in attendance in its existence, on average. And maybe that's God's plan. Maybe that's all God wants for Central Baptist Church to be, and that's perfectly fine. But what if God wanted the church to be 200, 300? Are we making sure that we're doing everything in our power to not hinder God from making this church everything He intends it to be? Reasons for revival. The psalmist said, "Search me, O God. know me. Try my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Amen. So we're looking at nine areas, broad areas, in hopes that God would show us our need, help us to determine that we need revival. And upon seeing that, that we would submit, be humble, and let God catch fire in our heart and restore that first love for Him once again. We know we need revival when our love for the Lord is lost, when our ambition lacks ambassadorship, when our soul winning is cold sinning, when our hearts are hard, and when church becomes casual. How big is God? How big is God? Do you believe He's big enough, powerful enough, wise enough, able enough to solve all of your problems? Do you believe that? If you're struggling with that, you need revival. Jeremiah 32 and verse number 2, God said, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" Let me leave you with this statement. The kingdom of God is not going to advance by our churches becoming filled with men. That's where the mega churches have it wrong. The kingdom of God is going to advance by the men in our churches being filled with God. Reasons for revival. There was an old blacksmith in a town. The town hadn't seen revival in years. The church was almost run out. Nobody attended. And one day, while he was working in his shop, his heart was gripped with the thought of revival. That old blacksmith went to his shop door. He put the latch over, locked it up, and he got down on his knees in his shop and prayed and prayed and he prayed and he prayed. Now, this was an old stuttering and stammering man. It was painful to hear the man talk. And in the middle of his prayer, he went to the preacher of the church and he said, "I'd like to call a meeting. Would it be okay?" Reluctantly, the pastor said yes, not expecting a single soul to show up. The man went back and prayed, and 2 more hours he came back to the church, and the church was nearly full. And everybody sat there in silence until one man bursted forth, and he said, "If anybody could pray for me, please pray now." And the people began praying, and others began asking for prayer, and people began praying, and a great and mighty revival began in that place. God transformed the town, and it later came to be revealed. From all quarters of town, when the people came to that church, that a conviction, a deep conviction came over their heart. About the same hour, that blacksmith locked the door of his shop and began praying to God. How big is God? God is able. God is still on His throne. Last Sunday, I asked you to draw some circles. Maybe you need to lock the door. Maybe we just need to start praying. Maybe God will come down. Reasons for revival. God can bring it. He can bring it to this church. He can bring it to Wakulla County. He can bring it to Crawfordville. More importantly, He can bring it to you. He can bring it to you. I don't care how dead and lifeless your heart is. toward this book and toward the things of God. If you're saved, there's reason for hope. Will you seek God? Will you seek Him? We're going to open up this altar for a time of invitation. Sister Tasha is just going to play on the piano. Our revival is next Sunday morning. It's just a meeting. What we're trying to do right now is to set ourselves to catch the wind from heaven that may just blow upon this place and upon our hearts. If God's moving, you need to catch that sail. You need to lift it up, and you need to obey and just trust God. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father,